Today on the You Better Not Travel Guys.
It's going to rain Tuesday. Did you hear that? Actual rain. Holy cow. I mean, it's way bigger news than what we've got to talk about. In the travel news, hotels and air seats for the inauguration in D.C. are a hot item, and Delta says the no mask, no fly list is up to 550. Details next.
Fake COVID-19 tests are finding their way onto the travel black market, and in our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we'll tell you how destinations like Hawaii are avoiding the fake tests for travelers headed their way, and how you can do the same.
Joe Brancatelli is one of our guests known for telling it like it is. At 3:35, Joe has a COVID time bone to pick with hotels and thinks you should know why your favorite place to stay may be cutting services and using some lame excuses.
At 3:55, we give you a quick update on the ships waiting to return to the high seas. They say they would be sailing before the end of the year. Well, we have the latest timeline. We'll share that with you and a few of the challenges that they might face.
The first COVID vaccine is on the horizon. Travelers are itching to get on the road again, but they wait out the virus. Meanwhile, we're here to sort out the details. Live from Sacramento, California, welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Lord, I want one of every man.
I come from a la 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 la.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kick.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel Guys, Travel and Entertainment. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for taking some time out of your afternoon, whatever you might be up to. Beautiful sunny day here in Sacramento, as Mark mentioned, or we heard in the weather. It looks like it'll be a change by Tuesday, but in the meantime, let's just enjoy it. Nice day to get outside for a little while. Mark, how have you been? What's the
travel
latest with
Travel and entertainment. Well, you better be entertaining. I got the travel side. There ain't much going on there. So you get up on the table and, you know, get those tassels on or something. I don't know, but you're going to have to do something.
I got to do a little quick step.
Maybe some clogging. The last couple of weeks, you had the entertainment thing nailed. You know, you had the new series from the Travel Channel and you had TSO on last week. So we all thought that, you know, you were going to continue this incredible string of really, oh, well, never mind.
Well, you know, we got Joe Brancatelli coming on. Besides being, really sharp and lots of valuable information, he's a fun guy to listen to.
Yeah.
So that'll be entertaining.
And just kind of Brooklyn just kind of oozes out of him from every angle. So it's good to have somebody with a little differing geographic opinion, if nothing else.
There you go. What's new at the Sports Leisure Vacations?
What's new? Not a whole lot, my friend. The West Coast governors yesterday saying, you know, stay home, stay home, stay home. We had hoped to take some folks on a wonderful Christmas mystery tour, and I promised them that by Tuesday I would have a final decision. We were kind of waiting for the governor's updated list of counties that where you can not have to eat outside on a rock. And, you know, because when you got 25 people, that's kind of tough. So, but in listening to those guys over the weekend, and our friend Chris Elliott did a column in USA Today on Friday that he has since gotten a lot of flack for. But he basically said, look, when it comes to travel right now, stay home. Because this is really out of control in a lot of parts of the country. Not as bad in California as is elsewhere. Which is a good reason not to leave California. You know, this is no time to go clicking your red slippers and going off to Oz. It's time to stay home, and just, you know, do your own thing. As I said on something we were taping earlier. This is the Thanksgiving that you teach grandma how to put Zoom on her computer, and you teach her how to, you share your love over the computer, and for all the rest of her days, you will be able to talk about the 1 year that you couldn't get together and what you did and how much fun you had and how everybody, you know, you make it something, you know, don't make it something bad, make it something good. Take a little different approach, and this is the way that it has to be this time, you know, and that's just the way it is. I mean, maybe one person goes to grandma's house to make sure that she can get on the computer and, you know, travels the 200 miles or gets on an airplane or whatever, and everybody else stays at home, and that's the way you do it. We've been doing meetings and business and everything that way for a while, and you know, I'm not, that doesn't mean everybody likes it or it's everybody's favorite way to do things, but that's right now, that's what you have to do. So we just, you know, Dr. Fauci said it really well the other day. He just said, you know, this is no time. We're the cavalry is coming, but they're not here yet. So just be cool, and the cavalry will be here soon, and we will be able to travel again and see each other. And this will be nothing but a memory in the rearview mirror, I hope. Let's just make sure that everybody can look in the rearview mirror and see it. So I think
there
that's
you go. Well, you know, the old phrase, the darkest hour. We've had several of them before the dawn. We just haven't broken out of it yet. And it's true. This is it's going into Thanksgiving and Christmas. This is going to be the real test of the metal as to whether we can buckle down and,
We can do this. I'm hopeful we can do this. Hey, before we get to the news here, if you were watching Saturday Night Live last night, they showed an old show, and I'm sure they picked this show intentionally. It was the first time Martin Short had hosted Saturday. You know, Saturday Night Live has been on for almost half a century. And really and truly, if you want to go back and look at the culture of this country, that program will be an indicator of a lot of things. And last night they picked a show that had a segment where Will Ferrell was doing his Alex Trebek imitation of Jeopardy, and it was absolutely wonderful. They closed it with a great little thing. You know, Jeopardy is all about questions and answers, and the question was who was the greatest game show host of all time? And the answer, of course, was Alex Trebek. So it was really kind of cool. Another example, I thought, of Saturday Night Live doing something really awesome. You know, for most of our lives, they have been kind of the late night definition. You know, Johnny Carson's been gone for a long time now. So they've been the people who have kind of societally pointed to things.
Right. You can go back and check out your hairstyles and wardrobes that you wore throughout the decades by watching the different episodes, you know, on Saturday Night Live. You know, yeah, I had that giant lapel leisure suit thing that with the bell bottoms that Chevy Chase was wearing, and those huge glasses, you know. That were popular for us guys back in the time. Anyway, well, I guess we're covering some of the entertainment stuff right here, I hope.
Yes, we are.
All right, my friends, at the top of every Travel Guy show, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with that, of course, here's Mark.
Yeah. Well, as soon as the host stopped babbling about everything else, it doesn't have all that much to do with travel. If you're going to go to Washington for the inauguration, you kind of sort of have waited too long. You probably should have had this idea like the day after the election, because airfares are going up. Hotel rooms are going up. I've had a couple folks who have called me and asked if we were going to take folks to the inauguration, and no, we are not. But you can go and do it yourself. Best tip for you is try to find a hotel room in across the river in Virginia, in Alexandria maybe. Consider maybe flying into Baltimore. Southwest does the Baltimore airport, and you might want to even consider staying up there near the Baltimore airport. Might be cheaper than the Washington airport. But if you're going to do this, you probably, every day you wait, you're probably going to pay another $30 or $40 in airfare and hotel rooms.
In the COVID world, and I know that that's a little ways off. There's several days to next year, really. But I guess we can kind of try to imagine what that's going to look like, and hopefully it'll look way different than if it was next week.
Hopefully, because that's a lot of people who gather together on the mall there. So you're right. It probably is going to look different, but they are selling airline seats and they are selling hotel rooms. So apparently a reasonable number of people are planning on being there. You make a very valid point, my friend.
You guys, Sports Leisure, have done that a few times, have you not?
Yes, but not this time around.
No, not this time around.
Okay, listen, you can get tested at a lot of airports now. Let's save that and talk about that when we talk about the fake tests here in the second segment. Delta Airlines says they have banned nearly 550 people for violating their face mask policy. Remember, they were the first to adopt the "you don't want to wear a face mask." Look, you know, we don't want to fight with you. Just get off the airplane, you know, and we'll see you. When this is over and we don't need masks anymore, you'll be welcome to fly again. And so 550 people on their list. United says over 400 on theirs. Nobody else is giving out numbers right now. But a couple of examples in this article of in the past couple of weeks where flights, the crews, if you're going to fly Delta, they're enforcing the face mask. And I can kind of tell you, having been on Southwest a few times in the last few months, they're doing it too. So if you want to fly, there are some rules that you got to play by. And one of them is you got to wear a face mask. It has to cover your nose and your mouth. What a novel idea. Southwest Airlines says that there was a little bit of a bump originally after Labor Day in bookings, but that has slowed down. And if anything, now they think they will see fewer people on planes. In fact, all the airlines are scared to death as to what's going to happen after Christmas, because that traditionally is a slow time. And if there is no convention travel, it's going to be tough. Los Cabos is receiving high praise for managing the pandemic. It's a favorite destination. There are lots of ways now to get there from Sacramento. We got two or three carriers who are running flights down to Los Cabos. But also Cancun has been able to keep the virus away from most of their resorts and folks have been able to go down there. It's not really a travel bubble per se, but they've worked very hard at sanitation and trying to keep their destination free of the virus. And Los Cabos is getting some praise for keeping the numbers down. So maybe that's a place that some folks in Sacramento might look to after the first of the year. Travelers, Amtrak is touting the fact that there have been no outbreaks on trains and nobody has been able to trace the virus for more than one person back to any type of Amtrak move. So they also are saying, look, if you need to travel this holiday season, if you have to go someplace, consider the trains. They're not booking them completely full. They're booking them to about 2/3 capacity. I was on an Amtrak train for 5 or 6 hours about a week and a half ago and felt extremely comfortable. They have made some changes to the way that they are serving people in the cafe car and things of that sort. So just like we tell you with all the other stuff, and that is do your homework. If there's a particular way you want things done or something that's really important to you, make sure that that is there before you go.
Do they make you roll? You get to roll the windows down on the train. That way you can get good ventilation. No?
This is why Amtrak never calls you. Oh. It's because the last time you tried to roll the windows down, and no, that didn't. You know, that didn't go well. Here's something, Tom. Royal Caribbean is seeking volunteers for mock voyages. They put up a thing on Wednesday, and on Wednesday afternoon, and by 12:30 the next day, they had 10,000 people who had signed up to take mock cruises to nowhere.
Right, and then have to put up with the testing and the constant nose swabbing, or what?
Just like the ship was out on the high seas, you got on board, you never left the dock. You get fed and all of those things.
Really?
You get to sleep on board, but yes, they're testing the protocols and the like. So,
okay.
So that's what you get to do. But at least they're not charging you for it. And
right.
I'm thinking Stephanie could take you down and put you on the boat in the morning and then pick you up at the end of the day or something like that.
Well, as you know me and being seasick, as long as we didn't leave the dock, I'd be okay.
Uh huh. There you go. And that is, my friend, your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Coming up in our Smarter Traveler segment, we're going to talk about fake COVID-19 tests and how destinations like Hawaii are avoiding them. That's next here on the Travel Guys. Viva, viva Las Vegas. I miss Las Vegas. I really do. Romano here, along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Okay, Mark, well, let's talk about these fake COVID-19 tests. So, what do you got?
Well, I guess this was inevitable, but so far this has been mostly international. Last week, French officials broke up an alleged forgery ring that was selling false test certificates at Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport. According to Associated Press, the group was asking between $180 and $360 for the digital certificates of a negative result. There were police in Brazil recently arrested four domestic travelers who forged negative coronavirus tests to visit some islands off the coast there. The practice has also surfaced recently in England. The Lancashire Telegraph newspaper reported speaking with a man who doctored a friend's negative coronavirus test. He was a doctor himself, apparently, printed it out and used it for international travel. So a guy took a friend's test, made some slight changes, and was able to, because he knew he was a doctor, knew what to change, and was able to use that for his own travel. So what it means is that places that are requiring some proof of vaccination now are figuring out that there are ways for people to fake this. Hawaii was smart from the beginning because Hawaii said, look, we will only accept the tests from places A, B, C, and D. And that list has continued to expand, but there are notable places offering tests that Hawaii does not accept. So you have to be, if you're going to go to Hawaii, you want to log onto their website and check that out. But you can also get increasingly, you can get coronavirus tests at airports. San Francisco offers airports, offers tests. Tampa, Bradley International Airport in Connecticut, that's near Hartford. LaGuardia and JFK in New York, Boston Logan, Oakland International Airport, interestingly enough. San Francisco, airports in Alaska. Remember, they have the really tough testing procedures to get in and out of Alaska. So they've got it at Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Ketchikan. So there are lots of places now where you can get tests right at the airport.
Are these tests for people that are leaving or tests for people that are arriving?
Good point. They are for people that are leaving, that are departing. Okay. So, and then the question is, well, can you get tested, you know, on the day that you depart? Well, that depends on when do you need the results. Do you need the results on your phone when you arrive? Or do you need them within 48 hours? Or are you not traveling for a couple of days? You want to make two trips to the airport. You want to go to the airport to be tested and then the airport to depart. Maybe the airport is more convenient for you than the nearby CVS store, which is becoming kind of the go-to off. And CVS is not charging, but in order to get that free test, you've got to be able to have insurance or somebody that will cover it. And that's a whole different talk for a different day. It's getting increasingly easier to get a test at an airport. They are going to be more frequent. Keep in mind that there are two major types of tests, and without confusing the heck out of everybody, one of them is really well thought of and is considered the gold standard. One of them, the antibody test, gets more frequent false positives. So some places will not accept that antibody test. So if you're traveling someplace, you want to make sure that you know what test that they will accept and who they will accept it from, because that's where this boat, where these folks are coming in, selling bogus tests. You know, it's like the guy in the old movie, you know, you got off the plane in New York City and the guy opened his trench coat and said, hey, you know, want to buy a watch? So now when the guy opens his trench coat, he's got, hey, want to buy a coronavirus free pass. So the traveling Romano family had a daughter who took off for Hawaii, I believe this morning, and she was a little panic stricken last night.
To say the least, she had gone to get her COVID test, her and her husband, through Kaiser, which was one of the recommended sites.
Absolutely.
And that was on a Thursday. And through Friday, Saturday, no test results had come back yet. So she was concerned about flying without results, getting over and being quarantined. She had heard that in some cases, quarantine, you might get your results the next day, or you might not get them for 4 or 5 days later. Well, fortunately, her test results did arrive last night. Mm-hmm. She was able to hop on a Southwest plane that was nearly empty, with her and her husband actually not just being a situation with no middle seat, but having a whole row to yourself, including nobody in the row in front of you or the row behind you. So in regards to the COVID thing, the flight was pretty safe. They've arrived. I haven't talked to them since they got there in regards to the Hawaii check-in situation in the car rental. But they're very excited. This is their first trip over, and so far everything is going well. You know, let's face it, if you can get out and you can go to a place like Hawaii where they're COVID testing, you have to be tested when you get there. You know, I would say we felt that it was a good thing for her to go now, mm-hmm, than it is to stay in California.
If you go to travelguysradio.com, you'll see where we have posted a couple of articles in relation to this. If you're headed to Hawaii, Beat of Hawaii has a great list of all of the accepted partners, and there is a wide variety of them. So if you're going to Hawaii, it's fairly easy. If you're going someplace else where you need a coronavirus test, there are lots of places that you can get them. Again, it's one of those you've got to do your homework sort of thing, but more and more they're available at the airport.
All right, more of the Travel Guys coming up right after the news. Joe Bracatelli joins us here on the Travel Guys, so stick around. Lots of good stuff coming up next.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here to make you a smarter traveler. And how do we do that today, Mark?
We speak to Joe Brancatelli. Joe, how long have you had your website?
We started the website right after 9/11, joesentme.com. Mm-hmm. And we keep going. We keep lurching from crisis to crisis. It never seems to get calm in the travel industry, does it?
No, it really doesn't. That's a wonderful way of putting it. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Joe. For those of us in the travel industry, doesn't matter where you come at it, whether you're someone like yourself who reports on the industry, or someone like myself who makes a living directly from it, or you're somebody who works for a company that's involved in it. It really doesn't matter what angle you come from. This is interesting is the word that most people are using. Catastrophic is another word that some people are using also as time goes on as to what this whole COVID thing has done to the travel industry.
This has certainly been, 9/11 was a national catastrophe, a national nightmare, and it certainly hurt travel for the better part of a decade. The 2008-2009 Great Recession was tough on segments, but there's never been anything quite like this, because at issue is whether you can in fact travel at all, not for a day or for a week, but for months at a time. And we're in a very difficult spot again in the fall and winter, and it's going to really raise a lot of questions on whether anybody's going anywhere.
This situation has also created some opportunities. There are some people who are seeing the crisis and saying, you know what, there's a way to come out of this better than we went in. And there are another group of people who are seeing the crisis and saying, well, you know, this is costing us a lot of money. We better try to make that money up. So let's start looking for ways we can cut corners. And that's why I invited you here today, is because you opined a column about hotels and the corners they've been cutting. And it struck a chord with me because I've been traveling some in the last few months and have noticed some of those things. And I thought, you know, for your warning kind of was for people who are getting ready to travel, don't take anything for granted, because the hotel you stayed in last year, that very same hotel may look, feel, and be a lot different this time around?
I will give you the same little story that I started my column with. I was in a luxury hotel in Manhattan, I guess it's 2 weeks ago now. There's no coffee in the lobby. The restaurant is not open. There's no coffee maker in the room, which has never been in the room. Okay, it's a Saturday, it's a Sunday morning, and you go downstairs trying to figure out where to get coffee in the morning, you know, basic fuel. And even the coffee bar down the street is closed because you're in the financial district of New York, and you end up at a 7-Eleven pouring out brown water. The next day, the same situation, restaurant closed, nothing in the lobby for allegedly health reasons, nothing in the room. Okay, now the coffee bar is open down the block, but it's pouring down with rain. Now, this is minor stuff, getting a cup of coffee. If you can't get coffee in a hotel anymore, you have to prepare for many more shocks, and especially prepare for shocks if you think you've been, you know that hotel because you would been there before the pandemic. Everything from housekeeping to room service to any number of services, the pool is likely to be closed, the restaurant's closed, you won't get the housekeeping you expect. The hotel industry has really slashed under the guise of coronavirus.
So the question, Joe, is there are you saying that they're doing this to save money, or are they doing it because of the COVID-19 and that the safety regulations require that those particular things are no longer available, or is it kind of a combination of both?
The answer is yes. It's definitely a combination of both. Now, and you know it's a combination because the things that are disappearing are the things the hotels didn't want to provide anyway, before the pandemic. We can take housekeeping. Housekeeping is a cost to a hotel, and there's no benefit to housekeeping. You can't be a better housekeeping. People assume the housekeepers come. People assume your hotel is clean. So the baseline is perfection. Anything below perfection is problematic for a hotel. Mm-hmm. So they've been trying to reduce the cost of housekeeping. And now, with the pandemic on, their solution is, we promise you a clean room when you walk in, and then you won't see us again until you check out. There won't be daily housekeeping. You'll have to call down and get more towels if you need it or something like that. And their belief is that that's a safety reason. You don't want people in your room mm-hmm. during a pandemic. But by the way, it also saves the money. And there's any number of things like that that are affecting the hotel business now, where they can legitimately claim it's about the coronavirus, but by the way, it's saving the money in a time when there's not a lot of cash to go around.
Tom, just the housekeeping thing alone, I mean, if you stop and think about it, the housekeeper comes into your room. Now, she's not going to change the sheets every day, but in most hotels, they're changed every third or fourth, fifth day. So that's an expense. I mean, that takes a lot of time.
Sure.
Those sheets have to go down to the laundry. They have to be washed. It's soap. It's power, it's water, all those things cost money. They have to be put back on the bed. The amenities that the housekeeper might leave in the room, cleaning supplies, you know, all of that stuff doesn't have to get used. If you check into most hotels right now, Tom, if you're staying more than one night, unless you tell them you would like housekeeping, and in some cases they will just say, well, you know, we won't go into your room, but what can we get you? We're happy to give you anything that you need. So if you think you're going to go out for the day and come back and your room's going to be all spiffy and your bed's going to be made and the trash is going to be picked up and stuff, you are going to be sadly disappointed when you come back to your room, because that may not happen. And that may not be a big deal to you necessarily, but if a housekeeper cleans between 16 and 20 rooms a day and a hotel has several hundred rooms, if a housekeepers aren't going into stayover rooms, then their housekeeping staff is going to be reduced by 3, 4, 5, 6 people. And that's some significant cost savings to the hotel.
Joe, do you feel that when this is all said and done, that the hotels will just kind of continue on that path of a lot less housekeeping and a lot less amenities that someone used to get in their hotel?
There's no question that unless you're staying at the super luxurious places, a lot of these things are gone forever. That's not my opinion, because obviously, as I been staying in hotels as Mark has, you notice these changes. And as a reporter, I go back to experts I know in the field, people running hotels. And again, their line is, this is not coming back. This is them saying that. You take the housekeeping, for example. They have been trying for years to cut costs, and they've done it any number of ways. The days when they would change your sheets every day are gone, and that's okay, really. Nobody changes their sheets in their home every day. But they've also gone to outsourcing housekeeping. So often, if you come in at odd hours or tell people don't come, I often work in my hotel room on the road. I tell them don't come during business hours. You can't get them in the evening because it's an outside company actually employing the housekeepers, and they maybe only work from 8 to 6. But also take something like the middle-of-the-road product. The industry calls it limited service. It's really not fair. They sometimes call it focus service. Many hotels come with a free buffet breakfast. That's been their sales pitch. We've got the better breakfast than the guy down the road. It's part of the room cost, and, you know, there's eggs and there's bacon and sausage and maybe a waffle maker or a pancake maker. That's all gone, okay? And that's been replaced by a grab-and-go bag, which may have a tub of yogurt and an energy bar and maybe a wrapped piece of fruit. And when you talk to hoteliers about that part of the business, the free buffet breakfast with your stay, that's an area they're looking to cut longer term. They cut it now because, frankly, buffets are not safe. Plus, they don't have the room in a limited service hotel where they may not have a restaurant to space people out to serve the breakfast, even if they could come up with a way to do a breakfast more safely from the distribution point. They don't have a place where you can sit or enough places socially distant. So that will be rethought in the days of, you know, the bounteous breakfast are probably gone forever, or certainly for the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, and eventually you get into where a lot of the reasons that you stayed in a hotel, I mean, because there was a food facility, because there was coffee in your room in the morning, and you didn't have to haul a coffee pot around in your, or some way to make coffee around in your suitcase, suddenly vacation home rentals and RV rentals and things like that start to, I mean, the hotel industry is still competing. When this is all said and done, Joe, at the end of the day, they will still be competing against the same group of people they were competing coming into COVID. The landscape may look a little bit differently. We should tell folks we're talking with Joe Brancatelli. Joe has a website, joesentme.com. You can go to Travel Guys Radio, and there's a link to it. It's the only website that I pay to be on to receive information from. So Joe's travel information is top-notch. Okay, end of commercial. Anyways, the hotels are taking things that you took for granted, and you may not say, well, that wasn't that big of a deal, and they're just eliminating them. And as Joe has pointed out here, you can look for some of these things. We'll probably never come back. But will the pendulum swing the other way, Joe? Will eventually somebody have to say, well, you know, I need an edge on everybody else in this mid-range field, and which is kind of crowded anyway, so some of these things then start being added back?
Well, that certainly is the possibility. And it's a strange thing. Even while the country has been essentially at a standstill in the year 2020, it'll be remembered as the year when nothing happened. Good, certainly, but not a lot of motion happened. Hotels continue to be built. You can't just stop building a building. So we're seeing many more new hotels open. So, yes, yep. The field will stay crowded. As you've mentioned, there's the home stay option, which is very attractive to families if they're staying more than a day or two. So, yes, the pendulum will swing. But it always changes. Unlike airlines, which are basically the same, it's a tube to get you from place to place. Hotels have changed. Nobody, I think people will always want coffee, and they're going to have to fix that.
That's for sure.
To some degree, you may never see room service again, for example. That's always been a losing product for hotels.
Why not let Uber bring the stuff to the hotel and haul it upstairs? And, you know, maybe you can charge them a couple bucks to come in the door.
Exactly. And as I mentioned in the column, there's a service now that's rolling out in some of the big cities that actually imitates room service for breakfast. When I complained to the GM at this hotel where we started the conversation about, that it was ridiculous, no matter what, that there was no coffee available in the morning. Weirdly, I don't even drink coffee anymore. This happened to be for my wife, who can't live without coffee. His answer was, well, didn't you look? We have this service where you call and they deliver it. Well, no, I didn't think of that, to be honest. And, you know, I'm not used to ordering room service coffee because it takes 45 minutes and costs $45. So there will be new ideas, that necessity and mother of invention and all that stuff. But it's going to be painful for the hotels, and it will be painful for guests.
I think the bottom line probably is, folks, if you're going to a hotel you haven't been at for a while, and there's something in particular that you really like about that hotel, its restaurant, some sort of amenity that you always get there, and that really is one of the reasons that you go there, it's important to you, you might want to do your homework ahead of time and make sure that that amenity or that option or that whatever at the hotel still exists, that they're still doing business that way. And the other thing, the other reason you might check into it is to make sure that the hotel is still open. Because as Joe mentions, things change. And right now, a lot of hotels, some of them that have been in business for a long time, their mortgages are bigger than what the hotel is now worth. That's a conversation for a whole nother day. Joe, I thank you for your time. I will remind folks that if you're a travel geek, you like good information, a wide variety of it. Joe has a dozen or so columnists, some of whom have appeared on this program, who contribute to his website and has some great information. He updates it twice a week, so it's always accurate. You can go to travelguysradio.com and find a link there. It is a paid site. But very reasonable, and you can get some good information for a couple bucks a week. Joe, thank you for being so gracious for your time, for all of the other folks that are part of your stable who have been guests on the Travel Guys. You have a good week.
You too, guys. Thanks so much for the time.
Coming up next on the Travel Guys, we have the latest timeline to share with you as to when those ships hit the high seas. That's coming up on the Travel Guys. Hey, we're back. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A few weeks ago, we did a half hour of cooking with Paulette. And Mark, I ran across a comment that you made the other day that you had slipped into one of Paulette's classes.
I did.
Following that, tell me about it.
She does, her deal is that she does a cooking class once a week. It was about 45 minutes, and there were about 30 people on there, 25, 30 people, and it was fun. I'm not, you know, a chef per se, but I mean, I like to cook. For a guy, I like to cook. Yeah. I'm a comfort food guy. So she was doing stuffed bell peppers, which is right up my comfort food alley.
There you go.
And, and you know, it was something fairly simple that you could have done yourself. And it wasn't something that took, you know, 97 ingredients. And it was kind of like the stuff that she did with us on the air. And so I had a lot of fun. I thought to myself, if I were paying $30 a month for this and there were four a month, you know, would I pay $7 or $8 for this? And I thought to myself, yes, I probably would. It was a good quality experience. And I plan on being back. We will have her again on the show, and we're going to have her do like a theme to a particular destination or prepare some foods that you would find in a particular place. It might even be a destination that Sports Leisure Vacations is headed to at some point.
Cool. I just for those that may have missed it last time around, her thing is called Good Eats Cooking Class. So you probably find it at goodeatscookingclass.com. All right, Mark, what's the latest on the cruise ships? We talked earlier about cruise ships are doing testing where they're, you know, trying to get the protocol all squared away and literally having people to volunteer and stay on their ship and go through the routine. What's the latest on when they might actually set sail?
Does it not seem to you, Tom, like that the cruise ships are the most complicated piece of this puzzle? I mean, of all the travel and entertainment venues and entities, I mean, stadiums and theaters and stuff that have to put people in to a site. But they're going to put people and float them in the middle of the ocean.
Right, right. I agree. Probably the only thing I think would be equally as complicated is of course, something like Disneyland, where you got so many moving parts. But there's no doubt about it.
First ship went out into the Mediterranean. Sea Dream Yacht Club's Sea Dream 1. They had 53 passengers on board. They had all tested, been pre-tested before they went out. So they did everything that they were supposed to do. They didn't wear masks on board because between the passengers and the crew, they decided that everybody had been tested twice. So the chances of anybody having it, and they were out there 5 days, and people started testing positive for the virus.
You think somebody, maybe they got some of those fake test kits.
Well, yeah, who knows?
Or test results, anyway.
It was, so far it's only passengers. All the crew have tested negative. So,
you know how the testing is. There can be false negatives. Just like there are false positives.
There can be, but they've got five people now who have tested, of the 53 who have tested positive. So they're thinking, probably not so much. That is not good news for people who want to go cruising. Princess has canceled its Australian cruise season. They are not going to go there until at least May 31. Remember, they're in the southern hemisphere, so their seasons are opposite ours. So that would be through the summer and the fall. That Princess is not going back to Australia, New Zealand. All of the cruise lines are talking about adapting what we had referred to a couple weeks ago here when we talked about, remember, somebody who they got left behind on a shore excursion because they wandered off. Another family got left behind intentionally because they wandered off on a shore excursion. They had agreed not to do that. They did it anyway, and so the cruise ship said, you can't get back on board. How do you explain to people that you can go on this cruise ship, but when we get to a port of call, the only thing you can go on is our authorized excursion that comes right back to the ship, and you can only go to the places it goes to. You can't go any wandering off on your own. Otherwise, you're not going with us. So to me, as a traveler, that's half. I mean, I love having things planned for me and stuff, but it's like, what's over there around that corner? What's in that store? It's curiosity. That's why we're travelers.
So you're one of those wander off kind of guys, huh?
I am. So the cruise lines are all, their PR side is putting out things that say, we'll be back in the water in a couple months. We'll for sure be back before the end of the year. Now that they're saying, not before the end of the year, but surely in the first quarter. If I were a cruiser and I were thinking, when can I go? I would look at the fourth quarter of next year or the first quarter of 2022. And then I wouldn't have to sit there and sweat as to whether or not my cruise was actually going to happen. I think that this will all start to come together over the summer, but I do think cruise lines, that's a whole different situation. And it's going to be a lot harder. They can't claim like airlines do that they can recirculate the air every 4 minutes. Thank you, sir, for the pleasure of your company this week. We'll do this again next week, dig into the mailbag, and we'll also have the Wreath Project folks on who do the wreaths at the military cemetery down Vacaville-Dixon. So it will be a good show.
All right. Look forward to it. My friends, you stay well, and we'll see you next time here on the Travel Guys.
You all dance like nobody's watching. See you next Sunday.